Well, resolutions for a new year. That's our theme as we dig into the book of Proverbs over these next few Thursday lunchtimes. And today's topic of trust could hardly be more timely, could it? As we reflect on a year that has just ended, one of the defining features of it has been a woeful lack of trust and trustworthiness in our public discourse, at least. Tomorrow, the United States of America will inaugurate as its 45th president a man who wrote this in his best-selling book, The Art of the Deal. The final key to the way that I promote is bravado. I play to people's fantasies. People may not always think big themselves, but they can still get very excited by those who do. That's why a little hyperbole never hurts. People want to believe something is the biggest and the greatest and the most spectacular. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion. And to prove the point, those words were actually written by Donald Trump's ghostwriter, Tony Schwartz. Well, it's no wonder that people are beginning to ask if we are living in a post-truth era, an era of fake news, an era where an appearance of integrity and authenticity can garner our support, however abhorrent the message that underlies it. This cartoon from The New Yorker, I think, illustrates the public mood very well. But of course, it's not the political leaders who really upset us when we lose trust in them. It's our friends who hurt us when they don't tell the truth. It's our family members. It's our colleagues. And if we're honest, all too often, it is us, ourselves, who fail to be as trustworthy as we ought. Now, it's into this context that God is speaking in the book of Proverbs. Make no mistake about it, this is a polemic that stands up the fundamental truths about the person of God and the world that he created against the fake news and false promises of the things that would lead us away from him. His claim, as we shall see this lunchtime, is that what he says is trustworthy because he is trustworthy. And that will have profound implications for the things that we say and do. So that's where we're going. Here are our headings, if you're into that sort of thing. Firstly, listen to trustworthy sayings. And then, speak the truth. So first, listen to trustworthy sayings. For that is where these sayings of the wise begin. Glance back down at verse 17 and 18 of chapter 22. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. We hear all sorts of things, different beliefs and philosophies and worldviews. They compete for our attention. There's a clamor in the marketplace of ideas as people and things vie for our attention. The Lord asks us, who is it that you are going to listen to? Earlier in the book of Proverbs, it's put like this. There are two women calling out in the street. There's Lady Wisdom, who calls her listeners towards God and a life lived according to his will and his ways. And over the road, there is Lady Folly, who calls her listeners away from God and towards the sinful indulgences of pleasure and self-service. Or to put it in another way, there is the wisdom of Christ or the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of Christ speaks truth. It invites us into life as it ought to be lived, life as God always intended for it to be lived, life as it was lived in the person of Jesus Christ, in eternity, but also in flesh and blood as he walked the earth. His obedience to his Father's will, his diligence, his shrewdness, his generosity, his justice, his wise speech, his godly ambition were met in practice where we read of them in words in the book of Proverbs. The wisdom of the world speaks lies. It invites us into life as it is not to be lived, life counter to God's intentions. This is the life that is lived far from Christ, with enmity between us and God as we rebel against his word and reject his obedient son in pursuit of our own passions and pleasure. So as these two competing voices call out, the instruction is, pay attention. The warning is that it will be difficult to do so. It will require effort to focus on God's voice in the wisdom of Christ amid the siren call that would distract us from it in the wisdom of the world. These verses show that if we're going to hear the wisdom of Christ rightly, we're going to have to use the whole of our bodies. I wonder if you noticed the body parts that were mentioned in those two verses there. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Turn your ear, that is, away from folly and towards wisdom. Apply your heart to what I teach. So don't just hear wisdom, but let it affect you and change you. Let it shape how you think and how you act. Have all of them ready on your lips. So don't just internalize wisdom to give yourself some kind of warm inward glow, but speak it, share it, make it public. Listen to trustworthy sayings. Listen to trustworthy sayings so that your trust may be in the Lord. For you see, the wisdom of Christ is no abstract teaching. These sayings are trustworthy and true. And the reason they are trustworthy and true is that the Lord who gave them is trustworthy and true. He gave them that we might know that he is trustworthy and true. It is a maxim, an axiom that runs through both the Old and the New Testaments, that the God of the Bible is the God of truth. We can trust him. We can trust what he says because we can see by what he does that what he says is true. He makes commitments and he fulfills them. He makes covenant agreements with his people and he upholds them. He is the promise-making, promise-keeping God. And of course, in the person of Jesus Christ, his truth and trustworthiness was made flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul writes, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." So this wisdom of Christ is not abstract theology, a Zen-like self-help handbook for the trials of life. It is relational between us and God. Jesus the Son was perfectly obedient to his Father's will. And as we, his adopted brothers and sisters, learn obedience, as we follow him, as we listen to his voice, we learn to trust God more and more. As we do what is counterintuitive and countercultural, we are forced to depend on him. And we grow in our trust as we practice that dependence. It won't come naturally to us. We need to turn our ears to it. We need to apply our hearts to it. We need to keep it on our lips. But the outcome of this kind of obedience is unequivocal. I teach you today, even you, so that your trust may be in the Lord. So we, even we, sinners that are with no wisdom of our own, we might hear wisdom from God and trust in him. Listen then to trustworthy sayings. Second, speak the truth. For the God who calls us to trust in him, in his trustworthiness, calls us to be trustworthy ourselves. That's verses 20 and 21. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve? So in the previous verse, we were told that this wisdom was given so that we, hearing it, might trust in God. In these verses, we're told that it was given so that we ourselves might be trustworthy. But there's no contradiction between the two, far from it. Here is wisdom in action. Our knowledge of God changes how we live. Or as we learn to trust in God, so we can be honest and true in what we say and do. So speak the truth. But again, it's not an abstract set of instructions. It's a deeply practical one. Speak the truth so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve. Now, the picture here is of a messenger who has been sent a long distance to gather news. In the ancient world, this would be a serious undertaking. Depending on the location, it might be a dangerous journey. Depending on the distance, it might take a very long time. It was almost always costly to carry a message. One way or another, though, it was of no use to the recipient of the report if what they got back was inaccurate or untrue. Short of traveling the distance themselves, the only way to gather news in those days was to trust the report of the messenger. Now, of course, sending messages is an awful lot easier nowadays. Maybe you've even managed to send some on your phone while I've been talking. I don't know. But that also means that it is easier than ever before to give false reports. How many times have you sent an email saying, yes, I've done that, I'm just sending it over, and then you've immediately started working on the thing that you're said to have finished? Or have you ever said, sorry, I'm running late, I'll be with you in 5 minutes, when A, you know that it'll be 10 minutes, and B, you're not really sorry? It's tempting, isn't it, to bend or to twist the truth, or to stop short of the truth when our reputation is at stake. And it's never more tempting than when we are speaking about our faith in Jesus. We might evade questions about our Christian faith where we're ashamed of answers that would go against the wisdom of the world. We might soft pedal aspects of the gospel because we don't want to fall out of fashion with our colleagues or our neighbors. The wisdom of Christ teaches us to be honest and to speak the truth. The queen is known for being extremely discreet. She has gained a reputation among world leaders and dignitaries over several decades now of giving wise counsel and of keeping confidences. And so, according to one of her biographers, that means that she hears an awful lot of gossip because people know that she won't pass it on. Nikki Gumbel tells the story of a clerk at Selfridges, just down in the far corner of the parish down the road there. This clerk answered the phone one day, and the caller asked to speak to Gordon Selfridge, who owned it at the time. He was standing nearby. "Tell him I'm out," Selfridge replied. "You tell him you're out," the clerk responded, and handed him the receiver. Afterwards, Selfridge was angry with the clerk, but he explained that he had acted with integrity. He said, "If I can lie for you, then I can lie to you." And as a result, he earned Selfridge's trust. Yet it would be quite wrong for us to go back to the office this afternoon thinking about the pragmatic benefits of truth-telling. If I don't lie for my boss, she might give me more responsibility. Or if I don't gossip so much, then maybe I'll hear some more juicy information at the water cooler. It's not for our personal advancement that we tell the truth. The book of Proverbs isn't the prequel to how to win friends and influence people. Rather, the reason that we tell the truth is that God is the God of truth. And following him means living in the way that he intends for us to live. Being trustworthy is good for our spiritual health. By doing so, by walking in wisdom, by following the command and the example of Jesus, we grow in trust in the Lord and we become more like Christ. So these two things are connected, that the wisdom of Christ has been given to us because he is trustworthy in what he says and does, and he is calling us to put our trust in him. And this wisdom of Christ has been given to us because he is trustworthy in what he says and does, and he is calling us to be trustworthy also. Since we trust in a trustworthy God, we are to reflect his truthful character in the way that we live. Only because we trust in his obedient Son can we become more like him as we grow in trustworthiness of character. So here is a resolution for us as we look to a new year. It's a resolution to work on our trust. It's a resolution to depend more and more on the God of the Bible, who makes promises and keeps promises and makes all of his promises yes in Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to seek the wisdom of Christ against the wisdom of the world, to turn our ears to and apply our hearts to and keep on our lips that which is true, that which will lead us into a greater dependence on God. And it's a commitment to reflect the trustworthiness of God in what we say and do, to be honest and to speak the truth, to bring back truthful reports. But if we're going to do that, we're going to need God's help. So let me lead us in a prayer as we close. Our gracious God, we thank you that you are trustworthy and true in all that you say and do. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who showed us the way of truth and in whom we can put our trust. And we ask for your help by the power of your Holy Spirit to help us to live lives that reflect your trustworthy character. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.